On the last Sunday in April, a century ago, voices of protest rose up in churches throughout the Boston area, including at the 12th Baptist Church in Roxbury. Some 800 black women had assembled there, with speakers like Dr. Alice McCain.
Shall we fight for existence or shall we not exist because we are black? I say fight. Fight to the bitter end. Fight until the last drop of blood is gone.
The fight was over a groundbreaking new picture play by director D.W. Griffith, a near three-hour silent film epic about the Civil War and Reconstruction South called Birth of a Nation.
Everyone was in awe of the technology, the technique that Griffith brought to bear.
That's Dick Lehr, author of the book The Birth of a Nation, How a Legendary Filmmaker and Crusading Editor Reignited America's Civil War.
He did a master shot, moved the cameras and did close-ups, point of views, cut all this stuff in the editing room to really maximize the viewing experience. So people were blown away.
Well, not everyone. For all of its spectacle, the film, especially the second half, is also categorically racist. African Americans depicted as violent and savage, the KKK as heroes and saviors. Consider the scene described by Dennis Green, a law professor at the University of Dayton, who spent years in the film industry. Now, the scene shows black state legislators during Reconstruction.
Sitting in the state legislature, you know, barefoot and drinking wine and eating chicken and all this kind of thing. I mean, it was just disgraceful and defamatory in the most, you know, significant way possible.
Despite this, Birth of a Nation had opened to mostly stellar reviews and some controversy in Los Angeles and New York prior to its Boston debut in April. But Lehr points out that its ultimate success or failure, in many ways, hinged on its reception in our city on a hill.
Griffith and the producers knew, given Boston's anti-slavery history and emancipation movement before the war, they viewed Boston as an obstacle. And their line was, if we can get the show through Boston, we can play it anywhere.
But they faced a fierce fight from the African-American community here, led by journalist Monroe Trotter and a fairly new organization called the NAACP. They appealed to then-Mayor James Michael Curley to ban the film. Curley screened the movie and did admit that a few of the scenes might have gone a bit too far.
He suggested to Griffith that he voluntarily tweak them, and Griffith, of course, said he did, but he didn't. Other than that, Curley said the show can go on.
A week after Birth of a Nation's opening at the Tremont Theater in downtown Boston, Trotter and others took the protest to the streets.
Trotter and seven or eight other people were arrested that night in the lobby of the theater. And it was a night full of tension, conflict, fights here and there.
The lobbying of the legislature, marches on the state house, and protest rallies in churches and halls went on for months. But the film continued its run and opened in more cities across the country. Green says the film's runaway success was a huge blow for African Americans.
It really had a definitive effect upon people's perception of African Americans in some cases. It had an incredibly defamatory, I mean, it's ludicrous when you see the movie today. I mean, it becomes laughable for people. But at the time, it was really a devastating thing.
And for decades to come, as Lehr himself experienced firsthand when in 1979, as a young journalist, he infiltrated a Ku Klux Klan meeting led by David Duke for a story.
His idea of a meeting was to screen The Birth of a Nation. And it's a silent film, and so then he accompanied it with his extremely racist narration. So I understood that night, not necessarily its cinematic value, but its propaganda value.
But both Green and Lehr say that for all the damage done by the film, the protests that Birth of a Nation inspired were a crucial rallying point at a critical time for a burgeoning civil rights movement in America.
The protests were very, very effective in terms of giving people a sense of challenging artistic imagery coming from on high.
Protesting this film had a great unifying force. You had several thousand protesters marching on the state house, and that's, I would be scratching my head going, what year is this? This is so 1960-ish. That's the kind of thing I don't think people generally realize at all.
The fight to ban Birth of a Nation, a battle lost here, but one that helped stoke a nascent war for civil rights that still continues today. We were in the thick of it, right here in Boston, 100 years ago this week. From the Curiosity Desk, I'm Edgar B. Herwick III, WGBH, Boston's local NPR.